as simple, minor things. Then he sends his disciples to Jesus. Our Lord sends them back with the word that proclaims that he is indeed the Messiah. They are sent back, these disciples of John, to tell John what they see. And what they see and hear, that the blind are able to see, and the lame are made to walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And what significance is there for you and for the people and for John? It is that God is faithful to his word and promise. For all of these things are defined by Isaiah and the other Old Testament prophets as a sign of the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. And so it is that God, who is the messenger, sent before the face of Christ to prepare the way for Christ, also needs the word and comfort of Christ. Jesus said of him whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God. John, remember what the Messiah is sent to do. He is sent to call sinners to repentance and to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. The proper preface to the season of Advent might be seen as a job description for that one who is called the second Isaiah, John the Baptizer. For this faithful and trustworthy servant is now in prison because of those various traits. Such faithfulness, as you well know, eventually cost him his life. And now that he is condemned to activity, John becomes impatient when he hears of the quiet and seemingly peaceful way in which the Master was establishing his kingdom. Things were not going as he had imagined. Does this sound familiar in your life, too? Things not go always as you think they should. And when they don't, listen to the voice of Jesus himself. Sit back and listen, John. For that very message that you proclaim, that I am the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, do you see the evidence? The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and the dead are raised. We don't know why John sent his disciples to Jesus. Biblical scholars debate that issue. Some say he sent them so they would know Jesus. Others say he sent them because he had real doubts. Perhaps to move the Lord to greater aggressiveness might be the reason, too, that he sent the disciples. Let's get things underway here. We're wasting too much time. For the threshing floor was to be cleared. The chaff was to be burned with fire. And John demonstrates to you and to me and for you that even the greatest in the kingdom of God, save Christ himself, have feet of clay. That the brightest faith is beset by doubts. And the most earnest and sincere have their dark times of discouragement and apparent failure as well. Yet the faithful Master treats John kindly. And that serves as a strong encouragement to you and me today as well, to the church and to her ministers in all times and in every place. What of you today? How will you hear this word? Not merely through example. But now we move to the epistle for today. Let a man so consider us, John Paul says, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. If you haven't quite caught the flavor of that yet, I invite you at the conclusion of the service to go back and read through those first two hymns. They are very explicit in detailing that the gifts Christ gives
of his suffering and death, and he will place that into your